weather.
On this Thursday, August 20th of 2026, at 33 minutes after 9, we've got a temperature of 70 degrees with heavy rain out there currently in Beaver County. And that's a look at the news for now. I'm Noah Haswell on 99.3 FM, AM 1230 WBVP, 95.7 FM, and 1460 AM WMBA. Also streaming live around the world at BeaverCountyRadio.com.
Thank you, Noah. We are joined now on the phone by Stephen Mancini, director of an award-winning documentary that will be screened at the Lindsay Theater in Sewickley. Really intriguing story about 1,200 Italian prisoners of war, World War II, who were held at the Letterkenny Army Depot in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and how that kind of helped with a sort of an Italian-American heritage thing in Chambersburg. So first of all, good morning, and thanks for joining us, Stephen.
Oh, no, thank you very much for having me.
And we're recording this as well. We'll share it on our website later. But this is a story about a part of history I was not aware of. So talk about your movie, first of all. And I hope I pronounced it right. Fidelta, soldier, prisoner?
Close enough. Yeah, no. So Fidelta actually means faithfulness in Italian.
Ah.
And it's a great point, though, because that's kind of what the whole film centers around. You know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and, you know, local, you know, come back to Pittsburgh after my military career. And, you know, I consider myself a decent historian. So to have, you know, kind of learned, by the way, there was a prisoner of war camp less than 3 hours from Pittsburgh.
Right.
It was like, wait, what? And then you find out that the story, you know, like all historical stories, you know, there's always a ripple effect through time. So this story was really powerful because, number one, most people don't even know it happened. But it was such a positive thing that happened in that community that the soldiers who had been prisoners had been through so much that when they finally came to the States, you know, they were kind of, you know, the whole point of faithfulness to each other. But then they created strong bonds with the Americans, both their captors and the communities. And the result of that was, if you go out to Chambersburg, they still remember, but the families of the prisoners to this day still speak highly of Chambersburg and those people that took such good care of their father. So to me, I'm hearing this story and I'm like, I would have had no idea that this happened so close to Pittsburgh, number one. And number two, it was like, wow, I didn't realize that there are people over in Italy that have never even been to the United States are speaking well of an area of Pennsylvania just because of what they were told from their fathers and grandfathers. So it was just a very important and powerful story for me to tell.
Oh, wow. Let's start with the settings. This is World War II. What year are we talking, and why was Chambersburg chosen?
Great question. So Chambersburg did not have a military facility before the start of the war. In fact, we kind of talk about this in the film. And what you don't realize about central Pennsylvania is it's actually a great location for moving things from, say Pittsburgh. You know, you've got all the steel mills. You know, you've got those Rust Belt cities like Cleveland, you know, Cincinnati, all these other places that are manufacturing. Well, they've got to get the stuff over to the coast. So after Pearl Harbor, the U.S. military and the government says, you know what, we need some way to kind of get stuff moving over to the coast so it could be shipped out overseas. So they pick Chambersburg. They build a base. Now, when Italy, you know, gets beat basically North Africa and Sicily along with the Germans, they start bringing these prisoners, not just to the United States, but to other countries. Well, places like Chambersburg were desperately short of manpower. Why? Because all the healthy men were overseas.
Oh.
So by this time, 43, the war is well underway. You know, most able-bodied men are gone. And so it just made sense that here you've got a country, Italy, now by this time we've just surrendered. And it said, okay, maybe we can offer these guys, you know, a chance. Either you can help us or go to a regular prison of war camp. So not all Italians renounced fascism, but the ones that did were actually put into what were called Italian service units. And Chambersburg, even though it was technically a prisoner of war camp, by this time the Italians had surrendered. So now you have guys that were captured as enemy combatants, but supporting your war effort. So you're kind of in like this limbo. So Chambersburg was just one of a few places that were kind of strategically located. We'll call it supply maintenance facilities that you could have these, for lack of a better term, trusted service units come and help support the war effort. So that's exactly what the Italians did. There were about 1,250 of them there, and they were not fascists. They were just like a lot of soldiers. You know, you get, hey, here's your uniform. Congratulations, you're going to go fight a war for your country, and they go do it. And so when 43 happened and the Italians surrendered, those what I'll call not diehard soldiers said, yeah, I kind of like America better and should have never fought them in the first place, and started to support us. But there were some Italians that did not agree with that, that were the diehard fascists, and they ended up sending them, I believe, to Texas. So it's kind of an interesting side note.
Well, Stephen, I'm sure you get into this in your movie, but I'm wondering, what was the reaction initially from the folks in Chambersburg? Because many of them might have been Italian immigrants, 30 years earlier, but now Italy was considered the enemy. Now these prisoners of war who are fighting against Americans are in their community. There had to be some emotions about that.
Great question. There absolutely were some emotions. And at first, there was real animosity, and we do talk about that because the civilian population here, they see these Italian guys, you know, in uniform, walking around, you know, doing work, and they're thinking, wait a minute, I just got done reading the newspaper, you know, 3-4 months ago of all this heavy fighting in Sicily and North Africa. Now you're telling me these guys are, quote, on our side? And so the United States military at the time had to go out, and the commanding officer go out to the community and say, wait a minute, Italy has surrendered. These guys are not fascists. In fact, they want to help. And then the people kind of calm down after that. But to your point, you make a great point, because a lot of the prisoners actually had family members living in the United States. And this was, and you know, this is the interesting thing about a country that's built on immigrants, especially when you have immigrants that may not be that far removed from their countries. You know, God forbid something happens and you have to go to war, and you say, you know what, I've got family members living back there. You know, or, you know, they're coming over here as prisoners, and you're like, hey, that's my second cousin. Now, you know, it's a very emotionally kind of pulling thing. But luckily for the Italians, like I said, they had surrendered. So they were essentially allying themselves with us. And, you know, after the dust settled, the communities were accepting. And then, believe it or not, a lot of family members would come visit the prisoners. And then that ultimately led to relationships, including romantic relationships, wherein some of the prisoners would end up marrying local girls after the war was over.
Oh, wow.
In fact, there's a great story in the film of one such case where, you know, she met her future husband. He was a prisoner. And after the war was over, for 4 years, Italians were not allowed to immigrate to the United States. And so she had to get on the Queen Mary and sail over to Italy to marry her husband. And then in 1949, they were finally allowed to come back to the United States. And then, obviously, the daughter grew up here in the U.S. And he ended up being a university professor in central PA. So again, to your point, it's a very interesting challenge when you have a nation built on immigrants. And God forbid, you've got to go to war with a country where some of those immigrants come from. And, you know, at the same token, you could look to the other side and say the Japanese had even worse problems. You know, here you are at war with Japan, you had Japanese immigrants, and we all know what happened with a lot of the Japanese civilians in the U.S.
The internments, yeah. Well, how did you approach your documentary, Fidelta Soldier Prisoner? Who were some of those people you interviewed, the sources you turned to, and how did you get this story on film?
Well, so funny story was, this is the first time I decided to make a film. And I was thinking, and I'll never forget my mindset at the time. I remember there was a very good mentor of mine, and he passed away. And his passing was sort of the kick in the butt for me to, you know, hey, why don't you do this? You know what I mean? Sometimes we need that kind of, you know, prodding. So when my mentor passed away, I decided to just start doing some homework. Because I remember him, he was an old Italian immigrant. And I remember him mentioning this story of a chapel somewhere in Chambersburg. And he never really gave me a lot of details on it. But I sort of just started Googling, and I finally got a contact. I was anticipating showing up with like a camera and just filming it and doing like a little 15 minute. Well, the next thing I know is Paul Cooling, retired colonel, he's like, Steve, you got to meet this guy. And then this guy's, hey, you got to meet this guy in Italy. And oh, by the way, there's this entire association for the prisoners. And I'm like, I've never done this before. So I'm thinking, oh boy. But that, you know what? The good Lord, sometimes the good Lord says, I want this to happen, and he makes it happen. And this is just a perfect example. So I went from Googling to meeting what's called AMPIL, the Association, Italian it stands for, Associazione per la Memoria dei Prigionieri Italiani Letterkenny, so AMPIL. So that was the association that was formed from children of the prisoners of war. So now I'm working with the chapel and the historical society. Then they're plugging me in to Letterkenny Army Depot. So there still is an army base there, Letterkenny. So now I'm plugged into the base historian, and I'm working with this association. So luckily at the time, I've been doing a podcast, so I had a fantastic engineer, and I said, Joe, I need help. You know any cameramen, et cetera, et cetera. So he plugged me in to some very good cameramen, and the honest to God's truth was we were off and running. I just went out there, and one thing I've learned is you don't need a script for something like this. These people know their story. Mm. And so what you do is you just sit down and you say, tell me your story. And so that's exactly what happened. We went out to Chambersburg. We went out to the chapel that was built by the prisoners. We interviewed some folks. And again, and then they would say, oh, you need to interview this person. Bring them on. And so we would interview these different people. And then you would all of a sudden learn stories that you had no idea of when you were starting the process. So now you're going down these rabbit holes, and they're just wonderful rabbit holes. You know, everything from a gentleman who is, still trying to find. He knows that one of the prisoners was his father, but they can't get in touch with the family. To a wonderful lady, Frances, who talks about how she was the one whose mother went over to Italy, you know, and sailed on the Queen Mary to get married. And then you reach other folks that you again would never have told their stories, and you never would have met. Had you just not found a person. And that's exactly how it happened. It sort of just fell together. And then AMPIL, turns out, was in Italy. So now I take my two cameramen, and we get on a plane, and we fly to Milan, and I'm working with the president of the association. And luckily, I can speak some Italian. So now he sets up the interviews. And fun fact, I think we did 24 interviews in one day.
Whoa.
Now, as someone who's a radio host, I don't think you'd want to do 24 guests in one day.
That's a clip. Wow.
So we did it. And, and then you learn really quickly, everything is about post-production. It's going through every single interview, listening for what's telling a story. And what's the story? The story ultimately is, you know, the positiveness in the midst of war. You know, I'm retired military, and I have not seen. I've seen bad, but I have not seen the worst. But I know people that have seen the worst of humanity. And, you know, in the height of World War II, which was, you know, obviously one of the worst, you know, histories or one of the worst chapters in the history of mankind, you know, you still have something good that came out of that. And this story is all about that hope that these guys went through a lot. I mean, and they really did. They were fighting in North Africa. They were literally starving. They had no water, no food. No ammunition. If people think the Italians were like cowards, absolutely not. They were literally fighting with World War I weapons, World War I technology, and no logistics against, you know, the United States, the British, who were, you know, modern weapons, modern techniques, and it's just overpowering. So they realized it pretty quickly. They couldn't win. And so rather than just sacrifice themselves, they surrender. But thinking, okay, how do prisoners get treated? Oh, boy. They actually got treated well by the U.S., and they were like, wow, this is something I never really understood or knew about America. And you'll hear that in the film where they'll talk about when their fathers come back to Italy, they're like, no, these Americans, they're actually okay. They're really nice. They're really kind. And so now these family members had a positive impact. And to this day, something that happened 80 years ago still impacts the beliefs of people that never even experienced it. And that's why I always say it's so important to understand history, the truth of history, good and bad, because then you understand the impact it had. And that impact can be good. That impact could be bad. But I always tell people, I say, go learn your history. Go learn your history, because then you understand who you are and where you came from and oftentimes why you exist where you are in this moment of time. Ooh. It is ultimately the culmination of a lot of decisions. And that's what this film is trying to show in a positive way.
How trust and friendship grew out of the most unlikely place, a POW camp. Wow, that's a...
Exactly.
Amazing story.
That's exactly right.
Well, you said it was your first time as a director. You must have hit it right. This won an award, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm not saying this to be cocky, but I'm going to be a little cocky. we actually ended up winning Best Director, Best Historical Documentary, Best Director in about six different countries. So to me, I'm like, I didn't even study film. I'm not telling kids out there not to go get a film degree, but I will say this. Sometimes things fall in your lap, and it's like, don't run from a good challenge. Accept it, and you never know where you're going to end up. So this film has been very well received. I'm so humbled, and thank God for that. It's a great story.
Not bad for a kid from Bloomfield, right?
Exactly right.
Well, the Lindsay Theater will be...
And I appreciate that, because I tell you what, if you'd asked me this 30 years ago or even 5 years ago, I'd have said you're crazy.
Well, the Lindsay screening is September 3rd. That's a Thursday, 7:30 p.m. You're going to be on hand, right? Are you going to do a Q&A?
I am going to do a Q&A. And listen, I hope folks can show up early or stick around after the fact. I will be there. We'll do the Lindsay Theater in Swickley. Again, the film starts at 7:30, but like I said, I'm going to be there early. Would love to meet folks. I love to talk to folks because, you know, I've done this. For example, I did this at the Hind History Center, and it is amazing how many people in Western Pennsylvania will say, you know what, my grandfather was a prisoner of war, or, you know, my so-and-so's, you know, whatever was a prisoner of war, or whatever. So when people hear these stories, they may not be in the film, but they might be able to connect to it.
It's a free screening, by the way, but the Lindsay does ask people to RSVP, so because of space limitations, and you may have a full house. I'm sure you will. So I'll put all this on our website, too, so people have all the details. But now, we're talking Chambersburg. That's Franklin County, Pennsylvania, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
In fact, like I said, I worked with the Franklin County Historical Society on this. And to your kind of back to your original question, for the record, they were ecstatic because they have a great story. And I support them in trying to let people know there's a lot of good things in Pennsylvania that go under the radar.
Is there any like self-guided tour, or is there any way do they mark this with signage or out, you know, in Chambersburg to commemorate this?
Now, great question. So if you go out there, there are some markers for the most obvious sign, for lack of a better term, is the chapel that was built by the prisoners. So that's one of the things to talk about in the film is after they were done working all day, they would basically go volunteer their evenings to build a chapel. That chapel still exists, and that's what this historical society maintains. In addition to the chapel, next to the chapel, they actually have some pieces from the World Trade Centers. I know it's unrelated, but I always think it's just one of these nice things to go see. But they actually have pieces from the World Trade Center, a large couple of I-beams from it in their Veterans Park, which sits right next to the chapel, because that area used to be the prisoner of war camp. So there's definitely a marker for the chapel, and I would encourage folks to go out there. You can go tour it. You can go out to the website, and, hey, listen, I want to go inside. They do have tours. But I know for a fact that those folks will make time. If you go in the chapel, and they really did a good job of maintaining as much as possible the authenticity of it, meaning it's as original as they could leave it and at the same time maintaining it. So when you go in there, you're going to see what the prisoners built. The nice thing, though, is you're also going to see a lot of little mementos that the Italian families that would come back and visit left. So, for example, you'll see a bunch of flags all over, these little flags Italians love from their hometowns, and they'll be hanging all over the inside of the chapel. So, you know, you don't have to be Italian to appreciate that. But if you just happen to be, you know, of Italian origins or ethnicity or something, even if it's your one relative in your family, you can say, oh, there's the town from my great-great-grandfather or whatever. So there are some markers. That is one site you can go visit. And you can definitely reach out to Franklin County Historical Society, and they definitely, on their website, will give you the hours for the chapel and for tours. And I know that people like to go do, for example, weddings in the chapel, because, again, it's a really pretty chapel inside when you see it. And then keep in mind, a little side story, the chapel was built by the prisoners scavenging a lot of the material. So when the base was built, it was built over old farms. So the prisoners would go out to these old farms and scavenge bricks and wood and metal and whatever they could. Now, obviously, things like the stained glass windows were purchased outside of that. But a lot of it was them just scavenging and building it. So when you see it, you really appreciate the architecture and what they did in their, for lack of a better term, spare time as prisoners. So sounds I like, encourage everyone to go out to that Franklin County site, go find that chapel, and go visit that chapel. Just one time if you happen to be driving through the area. Very pretty area.
Be a great road trip in the fall, right? And the leaves are changing.
Beautiful.
We're joined by Stephen Mancini. Also, I want to talk about your background itself. You you work at Robert Morris University. You're an assistant professor at school.
I do. I still teach there. Among my 12,000 jobs, as I jokingly say, I am assistant professor Robert Morris. I retired from the military, and then I worked for Homeland Security for a bunch of years, and I worked in the private sector. And then when I finished my doctorate, that was kind of my passion, was to go teach. So as I jokingly say, this is my third career. I teach at RMU. I also teach online at Virginia Tech and University of Oklahoma. And then in my spare time, I do films and podcasts. So I try to keep busy.
Well, let's hype these podcasts.
My wife is not like that.
The one's called.
She says you're too busy.
The one podcast is called Talking Business and Life.
Talking Business and Life. And then I do another one called the Unlikely Catholic Podcast. And you know what? We have been blessed to have some wonderful guests on there. In fact, we just did an episode with Joe Macy, Baby Joe. He was a former number one heavyweight boxing contender and, you know, just a wonderful person. And you know, you talk about, you know, coming from Bloomfield and these films, you know, to have interviewed some of the people, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Mario Andretti, you know, other names, it's like, wow, I, you know, you tell me the good Lord doesn't shine on us once in a while, and I'll tell you you're crazy. Because for me, to have made this, you know, an international film, and then to be on a podcast where I get some tremendous guests, and then the Unlikely Catholic Podcast ended up, by the way, that ended up spinning off into another documentary that I just filmed, which, God willing, will be on, I can't say the name, but will be on a certain Catholic channel, and that documentary we just finished. So, you know, all these things are just incredible blessings in my life.
Well, we got to stay in touch. We have to have you in the studio sometime when you're free.
Well, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to, and you tell me when, and, you know, I actually know where your studio is, so I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing inside now.
Awesome. All right, Stephen, one more time. In the 2 minutes we got left here, your movie Fidelta, Soldier, Prisoner, screening September 3rd, free screening to Lindsay Theater, but message him, RSVP, to make sure you got a spot. It's going to be sold out. You're going to be doing the Q&A one more time. What's the most special thing about this movie that people will take with them after they watch it?
We're going to learn that no matter how bad your life is, there's always something good. You just got to focus on the good and not on the bad. And never, ever forget your history, the people that sacrificed so that you could be here today.
Love that. Wow. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck at the screening at the Lindsay. All right, you take care.
Thank you very much for having me. You have a wonderful day, guys.
You as well.
You're busy. No time to cook. You're hungry and the kids are too. Don't stress. Make it a McDonald's dinner tonight. Download the app and get McDelivery right to your door. Whatever you're hungry for, McDonald's has it. You'll be happy and the kids will be too. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
If you own a company or a small business, you might have considered advertising on radio. It's smart because radio is still the most far-reaching media outlet today. WBVP and WMBA can get you results. Get more information at BeaverCountyRadio.com.